just a taste to sate my thirst. Created by Opal Song. Fandom: Dragon Age 2 and Tokyo Ghoul. Relationships are subtle, but Aveline Donick and Male Hawk Fenris. Rating: let's go with mature for violence and disturbing themes. This is a combination Twitter fic and off-the-cuff meta fic type thing. It was originally intended to be audio, so congrats! You are listening to it the way I originally intended for it to be consumed. Huh. Consumed. The first bit of this is a Twitter thread that I came up with in December of 2018. The rest of it was written in September of 2019. Figure that what I really want to do is read fic, but not any fic. No, I want long, plotty, steamy Dragon Age 2 fic about male Purple Hawk dealing with Kirkwall in a way that no hawks die, and falling in love with Fenris along the way, and maybe Aveline is the center of Polly? Alternately, I also want a long, plotty fic where Daddy Hawk was a ghoul of Tokyo Ghoul, and Leandra was a human, and the kids are halvesies. And probs, a hawk is still a mage, so Bethany dies, but they grab her body and eat it or something. Offer some to Mythal, what's her name? And Aveline. Hashtag gore. So Aveline totes knows they are ghouls, but says nothing, because bros. And they hide it in Kirkwall and make all these friends who have no idea they eat people. Until they're stuck in the deep roads with no food and no way out, and Carver was left behind, so he joins the Templars. So in future acts, they have to deal with a ghoul on Lyrium, which, doesn't react in the best of ways. I mean, it's fine for Carver, and probably people he likes, but not so much for anyone else. In any case, Varric's crew notice that Hawk isn't eating anything and are like, but are mostly like, whatever, more food for us. And it seems like a godsend after Bertrand leaves them to die, because one less mouth eating the few rations they have left. Except between the dragon and the amount of time they've been down there, Hawk is hungry. And that is where it can either get really dark and one of Hawk's friends, Fenris or Meryl by elimination, everyone else is needed for plot, doesn't make it back to the surface. Because he ate them. Leaving Varric and Anders horrified and terrified of this person they know. Or, because I like all the characters, there was a rando that made it with them or something, and Hawk eats them in front of Varric and Anders and probably Fenris, because we need a warrior. Or, oh shit, best yet. Party is Varric, Anders, and Aveline. Aveline knows, and she was on the boat, with two hungry ghouls for months escaping Ferelden. She knows the signs and what happens when they get too hungry, or at least Leandra told her, and she cuts off her arm/shield arm to feed Hawk. Varric and Anders now know and are horrified, but not terrified. They get back to the surface and find out about Carver, and Hawk is like, well, that is going to go poorly. And I think tells Carver that if the Chantry gets even close to figuring it out, that Hawk will kill him and eat him himself. And then the Hawks move into their mansion. Meryl can tell there is blood on Hawk, but says nothing, assuming blood magic. Aveline gets a badass prosthetic and remains guard captain. I am much shakier on the rest of the plot, but, highlights? 1. When Leandra is murdered, they eat her corpse. But I think blood magic was involved. That makes her inedible, so Hawk and Carver go after the killer and don't even eat him. Or maybe eat him alive. 2. Worldbuilding note. Ghouls can't eat blighted people and can smell it. Though possibly they're immune, or maybe just very, very hard to infect. 3. Depending on which version of Deep Roads, after Isabella steals the book, Hawk might eat her when he gets it back. Alternate or add to this, he definitely eats the Arishok after killing him, claims the body and has it brought back to his home, never to be seen again. 4. Anders probably still blows up the Chantry. By this point, I think Hawk is so far done with Kirkwall, he says, fuck it, and eats him right there in the gallows. Probably. Depending on the version. But I think that the story does end with Hawk in the gallows at the end of the game. Chantry exploded, Meredith a statue, dead people everywhere. Aveline standing guard, Varric angry. The others, dependent on version, they are helping guard Hawk as he crouches over his victim and eats in broad daylight. Tentacles, or whatever they're called, in full view. Possibly he needs to eat because Meredith gave him a massive gut wound. And I think Carver is there, red on black eyes, glowing and eating bits that his bro feeds him. That's all I got. Sorry for this. This whole thread tagged heavily for hashtag gore, hashtag making things worse, and hashtag Tokyo Ghoul AU. Written December 2018. Returning to this idea in September 2019 because I am playing the game now and therefore have much more detailed thoughts about the actual plot. Starting with the ghouls versus blight versus other contaminants, i.e. lyrium, thoughts. I think ghouls, and therefore havesies too, are much more resistant to the blight. They can also sense blighted people, flesh, etc. This means the Hawks can immediately tell when Wesley is tainted. Probably a ghoul can't get the blight just from getting darkspawn blood on them, or a tiny bit in their mouth. But if they ate a blighted person, then 100% yes. Ghouls also can't consume things other than human flesh. I'm going to mostly assume this means organic matter that is not human, which means that ghouls can't use healing potions because those are made out of elf root. Also, pretty much any potion due to organic matter. But lyrium is a mineral, not organic. For the sake of this AU, I'm going to assume that while the lyrium that the Templars inject is processed, it is still pretty much pure lyrium. So it would affect Carver slower, but not make him sick. Lyrium potions are made with other stuff in them to make them digestible, and are therefore not able to be used by ghouls. This means that Mage Hawk isn't able to use lyrium potions. Not a problem in small town Ferelden. A big problem fighting everything under the sun in Kirkwall. I'm pretty sure the solution I came up with all those months ago involved corpses laced with lyrium and having a corpse fridge in one of the mansion's spare rooms. On to more detailed plot stuff, though. So the beginning is like I described before, and that first year they managed to hide it while working for whoever they work for to gain entry. The Hawks are used to hiding it, and there's no shortage of corpses on their jobs and in Kirkwall generally. Then they're free and meet Varric, and through his jobs, all their other friends. Before the Deep Roads, all their friends have at least an inkling that something is off with the Hawks. Most of the quests go pretty much like they do in canon. Fenris's quest goes the same, for example, except that the bodies that fandom likes to assume just hang around in his lobby slowly have pieces cut off or go missing. Generally when Hawk visits. Meryl later finds it incredibly odd that Hawk is so dead set against blood magic, but he is and reacts accordingly. She's around for the quest about the magistrate's son and is dragged from the room by Aveline when Hawk begins to growl at this man abusing children. Hawk eats people and he has more integrity than this man. Varric is there as well, but just chalks this up to one more odd thing in the line of odd things about Hawk. Isabella is there for the quest to find Nanette and the other missing women, later known as the time someone was stupid enough to let Hawk catch their scent and then go after someone dear to him. Hawk has been tracking Nanette by some combination of scent and magic for a while. He knew instantly that she hadn't been by to see her elven rent boy in a while. It is odd, but no weirder than anyone else on the crew, so... And then they reach the warehouse, and Hawk tastes the blood on the ground and says it's from multiple women, and yeah, that's weird. Both Hawks know immediately that Anders is possessed. Something about the way he smells and the way his heartbeat is just off. Anders, as a healer, can tell that healing works differently for them. He has no idea how right he is. Aveline knows, of course. All of this leads up to the Deep Roads and Aveline losing a hand and Varric and Fenris knowing. And then Hawk is rich and buys back his family's mansion and has the Viscount's ear and just all is well in the world. No harder to find people to eat, but also harder to find out ways to eat them without other people finding out. So then there are 3 years of Hawk doing his Hawk thing, Carver slowly getting addicted to lyrium. And let me tell you, that fucks with the Hawks to know that they can get addicted. And Varric and Fenris getting used to the knowledge that Hawk literally eats people to survive. Hawk offers to eat Daenerys for Fenris. It's kind of romantic. Aveline spends 3 years getting used to her badass new prosthetic and whipping the guard into shape. The others all still know something is up with Hawk, but never get real confirmation. Then Act 2 starts. Hawk tracks down the dwarf. Wait, nope, wrong guy. The elf who stole the recipe from the Kunari. He reaches the poisoned street and goes in alone. He's resistant, right? And his friends aren't. And also, if he goes nuts, he wants no one around except enemies. Well, he is actually resistant. Maybe even completely immune to the poison, and actually gets to fully let loose with his tentacle things. I forget what they're called. Needless to say, Hawk gets a good meal, and the only thing left in the street is bloody pulp by the time Hawk returns. The companion quests go pretty much the same as normal. Hawk offers to eat Hadriana piece by piece while she lives for Fenris, causing anyone not in the know to be like, what the fuck, Hawk? That is graphic. Hawk also talks to Meryl a fair bit about being considered a monster. She doesn't get it, unless she peeked in the alley. And she yells a little that he doesn't understand. She realizes later that he really, really does. Revelations about the red lyrium sickness while investigating Bartrand with Varric make Hawk question the origins of ghouls. Not out loud, only much later when Varric is very drunk and Hawk is super stressed and possibly grieving. Especially the bit about Bartrand cutting off bits of people. For the record, no one in universe actually knows how ghouls came to be. But the two going theories among ghoul scholars are way, way back someone made some sort of deal with a demon, or that at some point there was another darkspawn like the architect who fell in love with a human or something. Anyway, somehow, half-darkspawn baby that mutated over the years of having kids with humans to being a ghoul. Or there's the Chantry Ghouls version, where the darkspawn aren't the only thing created by the Magisters defiling the Black City. My personal bet is on the demon. Hawk's been aware of the serial killer in Kirkwall for a while. He doesn't care, except that they are wasting good meat by using blood magic and stuff on it, and only taking pieces of it. During Sebastian's quest, Hawk grins at the desire demon and says he wonders what she tastes like. The desire demon is taken aback. She knows. Fenris and Varric are both like, And Sebastian stays fully oblivious. He is the only companion that never suspects anything. Until the end. Anders finds out when they go into the Fade. He is glowing blue and riding backseat to Justice in his head, and Hawk has ghostly glowing tentacles. Justice freaks the fuck out and attacks him before they even talk to the demon. Afterwards, Anders apologizes and questions him about it, but hey, he's an abomination, so he can't really throw stones. As for Kagune, the tentacles I mentioned earlier, Hawk has Rinkaku. Tentacles all the way! Amazing regeneration and very flexible. Carver has Kokaku. Good for a big, all-out attack. Bethany had Ukaku. Fast and attack-based. Hawk still doesn't really have a truck in the Chantry versus Kunari race, but he is even less intimidated than usual by the Aerishock. With Kagune out, he'd wipe the floor with him. But Dead Kunari brings up an interesting point. Can ghouls eat non-humans? Ghouls can eat other ghouls, even if it brings all sorts of problems with it. So are elves, dwarves, and Kunari human enough to eat? We're going with yes! And also that different races taste different, giving ghouls a variety of food options. When Leandra is kidnapped, Hawk loses it. He calls Carver and together they hunt. Tracking their mother's blood is easy. It ends the way it always ends, of course. Only this time Carver is there, and Leandra asks that they follow what their father promised, that in death she could keep supporting her family, that they give her the respect they afforded Bethany. Her head is contaminated by blood magic, but her body is on a nearby table and untouched. Meryl is already in shock at the Kagune both Hawk used in battle, and now watches them eat and cry. Suddenly, all of Hawk's comments about knowing what being a monster feels like make sense. They burn the rest. When Isabella asks for help, she still doesn't know. When she returns with the book, she still doesn't know. Turns out, Hawk doesn't need his Kagune to kill the Aerishock. His magic does just fine. He hands the sword to the Kunari, but demands the body for himself. His friends escort Isabella to him when they discover him gone from the celebratory dinner. Sebastian stays to schmooze with the nobles. They find him in the basement of his manor, gorging himself on the tough meat of the Aerishock. He offers them a piece, and all decline. Meryl wonders what it tastes like. She and Hawk have a whole conversation, as Isabella tries not to vomit. She doesn't regret it, though. More years pass, but everyone knows, except Sebastian. How the fuck hasn't he figured it out? Hawk doesn't hide his eating from them anymore. Doesn't hide the bodies in his house. The elf girl he hired after rescuing her from Hadriana gets used to her new master eating people and knows he will never eat her. Aveline gets married. She never actually tells Donnick, but he knows somehow. The mage versus Templar tension grows, and with it, Hawk's frustration. Daenerys comes for Fenris and they kill him. Hawk takes him and eats the magic-laced body as Fenris watches with vengeful, satisfied eyes. Isabella asks for help with Castion, and Hawk tells her he can track her anywhere in the city. Creepy. And when she is free of her bonds and Castion shows up, Isabella says she wants him alive, but Hawk offers a different option. Castion deeds his ship to her, and then Hawk leaves his half-eaten body on the deck of it to do the talking for him. It works beautifully. Hawk gains another servant when he kills a high dragon in the bone pit, and then spends an entire day searching the bodies to find the ghoul he knew worked the mine. Being a ghoul gives no more inherent knowledge of explosives than being a regular person, and rather less knowledge of experimental Tevinter anti-abomination potions. Given that ghouls can sense differences in humans, Carver knows something is up with Meredith. She smells like blight and lyrium. But being Carver, he is a little shit and doesn't say anything until it is much too late. Hawk can tell immediately which of the mages Meredith sends him after are abominations. They die quickly. The Darktown kids take his money and run, as far from the terrifying monster as possible. Hawk can also sense the Keeper. He isn't surprised when she transforms. When the Dalish demand Meryl and attack, Hawk unveils his Rinkaku. A number of the Dalish flee in terror, spreading word through the free marches that their former first calls monsters friends. The rebellion against Meredith never reaches Hawk. They attempt to kidnap Carver and he lashes out, Kokaku killing the first to jump him. He kills the rest to keep the secret. And then the end happens. Hawk sides with the mages and Anders still blows up the Chantry. Hawk does not handle betrayal well. He orders Anders to come with them. He is getting Carver and killing everyone involved in this mess, and only then is going to deal with Anders. It's about the time when Orsino goes all blood mage abomination that Hawk completely loses patience with everything. He tried to help, and the man still turned to blood magic. Rinkaku out, he makes short work of what is left of Orsino. He slaughters everyone and anyone in his way to the courtyard. There are a few innocent mages that stay away, and he doesn't go after, but it requires a sharp word from Varric or Aveline to remind him that they aren't involved. Meredith takes one look at him and attacks. Carver defends his brother and lets his Kokaku out. She calls them monsters, and they grin. They are going to play. No Templars help her, and Hawk's friends back off too, knowing they don't want to be in the middle of that. Hawk's friends all stayed. It was never a question for Aveline. She always knew. Varric knows a good thing when he sees it, and also saw that Hawk was ready to starve rather than eat his friends. Fenris was also a witness, and is more than a little in love with this man, monster or no, though he won't admit it. Meryl has nowhere left to turn, no one who will understand being monstrous or give her another chance. Isabella is more than a little terrified of Hawk, but not entirely in a bad way. She knows just how far he is willing to go to defend people he considers his. Sebastian is in shock, somehow still was unaware of just who and what he was following. By the time the Hawks are done with Meredith, she is a lyrium statue and they are both injured. All the Templars and living mages have gathered around the edges. A tentacle lashes out and grabs Anders, dragging him to the two injured and hungry ghouls. This is the one responsible for this. It is Carver that makes the declaration. Templar armor shattered. Hawk takes a bite and Anders screams. Sebastian breaks and rushes Hawk, wanting Anders dead, but mind unable to compartmentalize the monsters. He dies on Carver's Kokaku as he eats a chunk of Anders' flesh from Hawk's fingers. They eat. Their friends surround them as an honor guard as they finish. The gathered let them leave without question. They take Isabella's ship. The elf servant, ghoul servant, and Donic waiting and ready, having scavenged and packed up all their homes. They will return, eventually. It's not like anyone will believe what the Templars and mages have to say anyway. Epilogue. They split up for a bit. Fenris takes Hawk to Saharan. Within months, the island is on its way to being free of both Kunari and Imperium. The Kunari hear rumors of who and what has claimed the island, and they aren't in a great hurry to take it back. And later, Hawk does Varric a favor, and then the Inquisitor gets the best seat in the house to find out if a ghoul is more of a nightmare than the actual thing. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!